You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Phone lines are there for you. The question for you, if Russell, we're playing the hypothetical again. Playing the hypothetical, because I'm still at the point where I don't think he'll be traded, although that is becoming more realistic and not so cockamamie when you talk about it now. But I still don't think he's going anywhere. But if, we'll play the hypothetical, if he were to leave Seattle, Russell Wilson, where would that rank amongst all-time Seattle athletes leaving the city for whatever reason? And we'll bring up names in different sports that have done it and what it meant. And it's all subjective, right? It depends on your attachment to a specific team or player on sport, all that good stuff. You know, when Wyman left the Seahawks to go play for the Broncos, was that, I mean, the city was down. I think businesses were closed for a day of mourning. It was a big deal.
No, you know what? You know what the reaction was, Bob? They were like, he got how much? They signed him to a 3-year deal?
Wait, Wyman, he played for our Seahawks, right? Okay, he's gone? No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, that's certainly up there amongst the, you know, the really down moments. But where would this rank? Would it be the worst? Would it be the biggest loss ever? How do you feel about it? 421-3776, toll-free 866-979-3776. Let's start with John in Lakewood. John, welcome to the show.
Yo, hey, thanks a lot. You know, Russell, I think he's blessed. Of course, we all know that he's a talented quarterback. He's done remarkable things playing for the Seahawks. However, I think that if he wants to be traded, I think the team that accepts him should eat the cost of his salary now. I think Russell would be better off opting to stay with the Seahawks. But, you know, does it rank as a catastrophic event in the history of Seattle sports? Yeah, I would say it does. But, you know, we've already suffered some very large catastrophes. You know, that last Super Bowl loss at the goal line, that was pretty catastrophic. And if Seattleites can stomach that, I think they can stomach the idea that Seattle could trade or Russell could move on. And I say, why do we have a backup quarterback? We have a Geno Smith as a backup quarterback. Elevate him, okay?
No.
We need to elevate Geno Smith. Well, no, I mean, we should.
No, John.
Why not?
No, we shouldn't, because he's not very good. He's not going to get you to a Super Bowl.
If he's not very good, then why was he the backup to Russell this whole time? Wouldn't you want a backup? How about Magoo? I thought Magoo was pretty good when I saw a little bit of him.
Yeah, John, but, I get what you're saying, and I appreciate the call. I just want to try to get through a bunch of other people. Thanks for the call, man. There's no way you're going to turn the franchise over to Geno Smith. He's there for an emergency situation, a guy that could complete a couple of passes here and there, hand the ball off, try not to screw things up, keep you afloat until the starter comes back. They're not equal. They're not close to equal.
All right, well, John, I'll tell you what, though, and I agree with you, but he does bring up the point that that's who you're going to have. I mean, that's who your backup is. I mean, they're going to get somebody else, but where? I mean, where are they going to go?
Question. You're not starting the season with him as your starter.
Yeah, they're going to have to go
protest
somewhere. They'll go to maybe get your guy Carr.
Yeah.
From the Las Vegas Raiders.
Wouldn't you think if he, whichever team he went, let's say he goes to one of those four teams, wouldn't there be a quarterback in exchange? Like if he went to the Jets, and I know they're not one of the four, but wouldn't you get Darnold back as much as I'd go? I don't love that. But if he went to the Raiders, you'd get Carr back. You're not going, okay, we're trading him. We've got no alternative, but we do have Geno Smith.
Right.
That's not how that would go.
Yeah, no, you're not going into the season with, okay, yeah, Geno Smith's our new quarterback. And then, you know, there could be a three-way trade. You know, we talked about something where we get Watson and, you know, the Miami Dolphins, you know, Russ goes to Miami. I don't know if that's on his list. No, it's not, actually. But, you know, I mean, maybe Tua sends something to, you know, or Miami sends Tua to Houston.
Yeah.
You know, that it would have to be something like that. But, I mean, look, you're not going to go forward with Geno Smith.
No. And what we're looking for and is where would that move rank? Not so much should he go, should he not go. We're just playing the hypothetical. He leaves Seattle. You're talking about the best quarterback in the history of this franchise leaving to go elsewhere in his prime. Where would that rank amongst other Seattle star departures like Ken Griffey Jr.? That, to me, is the biggest departure in the history of this city. And people can debate that, but He was the greatest player I'd ever seen in person. There was a sense of pride in this city about Ken Griffey Jr. that, yeah, the Mariners weren't in the World Series. They weren't really that successful during his time. They did have that run through New York where he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated and a picture of him that says Yankee Killer, where he was just awesome, but limited success with him. But there was a sense of pride in the city of knowing you had, if not the greatest player, one of the greatest players in the game on your roster. And he is widely acknowledged as such. And when he left, that was a blow. That, for me, was a blow. And you heard, and fans were responding similar to the way they're talking about Russell and some of these texts. Get him out of here. He doesn't want to be here. I don't want him here. And people started qualifying his numbers. I remember callers calling in saying, ah, he played in the dome. And if not for that short porch and left field in the dome, his numbers wouldn't be what they were, and sort of, you know, discounting who he was. I'm thinking, what are you guys nuts? I get you that you're upset. I'm upset too. But let's not pretend he wasn't great, because he was great. So where would it rank amongst, you know, other departures like that? And it's certainly Griffey's not the only one. You had Sean Kemp. Sean Kemp was a big deal at the time with the whole Jim McElvain contract and Sean Kemp coming out publicly saying, I want out of here.
Somebody suggested the entire Sonics organization leaving.
That's the worst, but that, you lost a franchise. This is about an individual player leaving, right? You'll still have the Seahawks if Russell's not there. That, you can't compete with your entire franchise. You just no longer have a team. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. So we're isolating it to players.
Well, you know me, I'm a football guy, and I think this one's pretty important. You know, I mean, I hear you with the Ken Griffey Jr. stuff. It's just that during those years, I wasn't a baseball fan.
Right.
So, and I could clearly see Ken Griffey, that how good he was, and, you know, what he meant to the city and how cool he was, and mm-hmm. that big smile, everything. So, I you know what I like about him, too, is that he became the dad who went down on the sidelines and took pictures of his son playing football.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get his kids to play baseball.
Yeah.
So, but,
and he was proud. Very proud.
Yeah, and so, yeah, he's a huge deal. But I don't know, Russell, it seems like the way the NFL is right now.
So this would be the biggest in your mind if this were to happen, biggest departure in sports history, Seattle sports history?
In my mind.
Yeah. All right. It's all subjective. I mean, it's just what did these guys mean to you? For me, it was Junior.
Yeah.
Junior's the worst or the most damaging to me as a fan. Like, oh, gut punch. That one hurt. Let's head to Tacoma. Joseph has been waiting. Hey, Joseph.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
We're good, man.
Afternoon.
What do you think? Where would it rank?
Well, two things about that. One, I think it would have to be number one simply because Russ did the one thing that even the great Junior couldn't do, and he brought us a title.
Yeah.
And for anyone out there that says we should just trade him for three or four, you know, first-round draft picks, I would remind people, one, whatever team he goes to, they're going to get better. Those draft picks will fall down further in the first round, and Seattle would most likely trade most of them anyways.
Yeah, so hypothetically, Joseph, if they made the trade this year, you would get the Jets picks this year.
Yes, but the Jets are not going to win two games next year. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a playoff run with the same roster, just dropping Russ on there. And then next year, looking at what, pick number 20? We're not going to keep that anyways. We'd most likely trade it.
Yeah, well, so, and here's the other thing to also bolster your argument, Joseph, because, you know, I agree with you in some regard, but the draft has become even more of a huge crapshoot.
Yeah, this year?
Because of the college, no combine, all the COVID restrictions.
Some guys played, some didn't play. Some played 5 games, some played 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. Junior was a huge loss. I think I probably shed a tear.
Yeah, I might have been right there with you, my friend.
And I would probably shed a tear if I watched Russ go to Chicago or somewhere else and suddenly he's in a title game. Nah, I'd cry for that.
Yeah. Joseph, we appreciate the call, man. Thanks so much. That opens up a line, 421-3776, toll free 866-979-3776. Let's head out to Kyle, who's been waiting. Kyle, we appreciate the patience. What do you think?
Hey, guys. Thank you. Hope you're all doing well. I have two things. One, where would it rank? I think it would rank as among the worst that Seattle has ever done. And the second reason why I say that is because if you look at the Seattle offense, ever since Russell Wilson got here, he has been the identity of that offense, no matter what team we match up against. you know, the anchors always say that X factor, Russell Wilson, prime time. I mean, that's why several of our games got bumped from like a Sunday morning to a Sunday night, because people love to see Russell play. And I think his leadership to this franchise means a lot more than I think everyone, or, you know, the coaching staff really realizes, that if you take Russell out of the situation, that leadership, that identity, that mentor just goes out the window. And so, I mean, they could trade him and get draft picks, but who's going to mentor those draft picks? I mean, I know it's more than just one person, but I think Russell Wilson just brings so much to the team that would, if that goes out the door, that's like the heart of Seattle football
right
going out of the door.
Yep. Good stuff. Appreciate the call, Kyle.
Well, and the thing is, though, with Kyle, I mean, I'm with him, but it's not really like the team wants to do this. Okay, well, the team doesn't want to do this.
No.
Okay, they have their franchise quarterback, and it's a great story, and the fact that they got him in the third round makes it even better to me. I mean, the fact is, if he was a top 10 pick, I don't think we would think about Russell the same way. As it wouldn't be as glorious. But since he was a third-round pick and they were able to find him and develop him, I think that's, I don't want to say more than half, but it's a good portion of the story and what makes him so special. He's an underdog player.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, too short, you know, third-rounder. You know, nobody thought that he could play in this league. So, and I'm sure at some point, you know, somebody probably talked about putting him at a different position. I mean, look, that's what makes it great. But the other thing is this isn't really the Seahawks' choice. This seems to be more about Russell.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't know how that ranks with how the whole thing went down with Griffey.
He wanted to go home.
That he wanted to play in Cincinnati and play and finish his career there. And I don't know how people felt about that, but
not good.
This is
not good.
This is not being initiated by the Seahawks.
Yeah, it was poorly received. I'll say that by the fan base. Look at the, and we'll get to calls here in a second. 360, got to be the dumbest question. Jeez, Bob, we only had one star ever. Junior, that's not true at all. Come on. Yeah, Junior, you had, people brought up Lou Piniella. You had Randy Johnson. You had Sean Kemp. You had a Hall of Famer in Gary Payton. You've had a lot of stars in this town. Doesn't mean you had championships. If you want to make that argument, I'm with you. But you had stars in this town that left. So, and people are bringing them up. Top five, Russ, number one, Griffey, Kemp, Keno. Who's Keno? K-E-N-O. Who am I missing?
I don't know.
I don't know who that is. And then Omar Vizquel, they said in that order.
How about Steve Hutchison?
That hurt. I mean, he wasn't a guy that everybody...
He was a guard.
You realized how dominant that side of the line was with Walter Jones.
I know.
I mean, that was ridiculous. But, yeah, he wasn't a superstar in the sense of his popularity. I know we hate him now, says the 206, but A-Rod leaving was a huge deal and a big story. You're right, it was a massive. The reason people hated him is because they wanted him to stay. They felt like he misled them when he had the audacity to take $250 million contract. Listen, I was mad too. I didn't want the guy to leave. I can't blame somebody for taking $250 million. I'm sorry, I just can't. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't muster up that rage and go, you said you wanted to stay. Well, that was before there was $250 million on the table.
And you could understand it.
Yeah, I think I think the Mariners were outbid by, you know, tens of millions. It wasn't like, well, he got a million more to go to Texas.
253's also irritated about the Hutch thing. Steve Hutchison still, by the way, they were saying Tino.
Tino Martinez. Tino.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, K-E-N-O is what it said. But all right.
We were just talking about the voice recognition.
Oh, yeah. There were some funny ones.
somebody texted something in that was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we couldn't read it. All right. Let's see. Out to Kent is where Jack is calling from. Hello, Jack.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hey, I mean, if you're, you know, growing up in Seattle of a certain generation, I mean, there's never going to be anyone bigger than Griffey as far as that emotional impact. That, you know, I was in my early 20s or whatever when he left, and it's just, you know, the literal gut punch. I think you had mentioned it earlier that everyone here around here felt. I mean, that will be unmatched, and especially with how pure, a little bit pure kind of sports was a couple decades ago. You know, like, you know, it was less business, less cynical, I think, around the industry. So I think Griffey number one, but this has got to be a second. And I really like, I appreciate what David just said about, it's not, I don't think anyone here wants to do this, but, you know, Russ might be forcing their hand, and I mean, I think he is. But you know, and I think you're going to have to make that calculated move. I think he's going to get really slow and really old really quick. It's just a matter of kind of when to cut bait. And, you know, for as great as he is and for as impactful as he's been, if he's forcing the hand, I would make the move. So that's my thoughts.
All right, Jack. Appreciate the phone call. That opens up a line, 421-3776. I think he's gotten slower. I don't think he's going to get bad. He hasn't lost arm strength. He hasn't lost zip on the ball. We saw that. Yeah, maybe he's going to get less elusive, but we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't a fast guy, but you talked about the number of times he gets sacked, and you watch him. He's so adept at just stepping up, step forward, step to the left, step to the right, just enough to buy that second to avoid the sack, to either throw it away or hit his receiver. I would equate it to a pitcher who was a power pitcher, and he's losing miles an hour off the fastball. Then he learns how to pitch. He's a thrower. Then he becomes a pitcher. All of a sudden, he starts using more off-speed stuff. He starts relying on his location rather than overpowering. And I think anybody that loses speed as a quarterback or loses that elusiveness, you better be able to pass the ball from the pocket. You better be able to, you know, take that step to the left or right, and it's not so much about you scrambling down the field and gaining 20 as it is just moving just enough to where you're going to buy time to see the receiver and make the throw. So I think he can adapt. Whereas Lamar Jackson, I look at and go, man, once that part of your game is diminished, what do you have? You better develop your passing game, because I'd be more concerned about somebody like that than I am Russ losing their ability. Let's see. Who's been waiting the longest? Randolph has been waiting. Randolph, we appreciate your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good show, guys.
Thanks, man.
I'm no expert on NBA basketball, but I still to this day feel bad for the true Sonics fans. We all lived through it, and I believe that if we were to lose Russell, it would be on a par with when the Sonics were stolen from our city by the pirate Clay Bennett. In my estimation of Russell, it's that big. And I think a depression would descend on the Puget Sound for 20 years.
Wow. Oof. Okay. All right. Appreciate the phone call, Randolph.
Depending on what Russell goes on to do.
And who they got in exchange. If they just all of a sudden you were just churning through quarterbacks and you weren't able to land the guy and he's out there winning championships in New Orleans or Las Vegas or Dallas or wherever he went. Yeah, it would be bad. It would be a bad deal.
I wonder how much – let's say that there was a way to work out a trade with Deshaun Watson, that he comes here, and just miraculously. And let's say he goes to a couple of Super Bowls, takes the team, and actually wins it for him. Because here's the thing. With Russ in 2013, who won that Super Bowl?
He was part of it. I understand the defense.
He was great.
We can't pretend he was just along for the ride.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, not like Tom Brady won that Super Bowl. Not like Patrick Mahomes won the year before. They won because
You could argue that Bucs defense was huge in that game.
Oh, they were huge in that game.
They were huge.
They were great all year, though.
No.
I mean, they came together at the right time. Yeah, I love the Bucs defense, but... But, yeah, I mean, and Brady, well, he was the MVP, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. What if Deshaun Watson takes him to a couple of Super Bowls and, you know, is the MVP? Because that's the thing. Russ, you know, was – I think some people would say along for the ride. Not me, because I value Russell and everything that he does. But, you know, for them, they're thinking, man, he wasn't really the reason for that, and they want to be the reason for that.
Right.
And then, you know, in the second one, I never criticized Russ for throwing that pick. I never have. But that 2014 season and that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing, I think you might have mentioned this in the NFC Championship game when he audibled, you know, and that was back in 2014. In that throw to Jermaine Kearse,
yeah,
he changed that play.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So he got him there, but then also he did happen to throw the interception that lost that Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you could – listen, it was a collective fail because he didn't call the play. He didn't execute it either, and you could point to Ricardo Lockett, point to Jermaine Kearse getting used by Brandon Browner on that play. You could point to the defense blowing a double-digit lead in that game.
In the fourth quarter, yeah.
So, I mean, listen, there's plenty – I know how it ended. That was the final nail. But it was kind of the tires going flat on the way to that play.
Yeah, I never blamed Russ.
Yeah.
But, you know, people nationally
certainly
might say, oh, he wasn't really that big of a part of the first one.
Actually, he got the least blame at it. It was Bevel got it all,
yeah,
the majority of it, and Pete. Bevel and Pete, very little blowback on Russ in particular for that play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, he got some, but Bevel was the GOAT.
There was a lot of people that texted in, like, who threw the ball?
Yeah.
Who threw the ball? And I'm like, yeah, I guess it wasn't that simple, and I was definitely defending Russ.
Yeah. All right, out to Tacoma is where Justin is. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. What do you think? Where would it rank?
So, well, I feel like it's got the potential to be the absolute worst thing, you know, ever, just because of, I think people forget what it was like to be a Seattle fan during the down years, and what Russell has managed to accomplish in his time since, you know, being with us, not just as a football player, but just, I mean, his bids, like, to be a part of the Bring the Sonics Back, you know, his stuff at the Sounders. I mean, he's had a huge impact on the city in general. And then just his play on the field has been, I mean, amazing, honestly. And to, if we were to slide back without him and go into this kind of mediocrity again, these newer fans don't remember what it was like to suck.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Mariners, they don't. I mean, and I've lived through all that, and I've been through, I mean, obviously years and years and years now of the Mariners, and now that we're looking forward and thinking there might be something great happening there. But if that doesn't pan out, and then, you know, if we did lose Russ, and then, you know, we couldn't correct it, we couldn't find a replacement for him, which will be way more difficult than people think, it could be the worst thing ever, because we'll just go back to sucking again, and we've got the Mariners, and, you know, hopefully something great will happen there. But, you know, we're a sports city, and we want to be a great sports city. And it would just be terrible to have to go back to, you know, not being able to be cocky Seahawks fans, because we've actually accomplished a lot. And that's been nice.
We've earned the right to be cocky, Justin, after all that suffering, right?
I feel like it. And, you know, anyways, yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm hoping for the best.
Appreciate the call, Justin. Thanks so much. A lot of texts coming in, people pointing out Ichiro leaving was a big deal for a lot of people. It's not up there with Griffey for me, but I get it. He was an icon in this city. He was incredibly popular around the world, not just in the game of baseball.
This is really weird. The 360 just thought exactly what I thought.
What?
Guy kind of sounded like Hasselbeck. There was something about the way in his tone. That makes two of us.
Yeah.
We're either both total idiots or geniuses.
Yeah.
206. Thank you.
Somebody... Text. 360, I'm with Bob. Quarter of a billion is literally several pallets of $100 bills. Several pallets of 100s. It's a lot of money, man. People bringing up Randy Johnson as big as Griffey. I disagree with that, but it's all your own perspective.
Randy Johnson.
That was a big deal when they traded him to the Houston Astros.
Mm.
You got John Halama. You got Freddie Garcia. And Carlos Guillen, the shortstop. Dennis Johnson. Went to the Celtics, fresh off the 1979 championship of the Seattle Supersonics. He leaves. That was a big deal. So some of this is based on how old you are, where right. you were, how much of a fan you were of that particular team. But, yeah, good stuff from you guys. Really appreciate the phone calls and the texts coming in. We apologize to those we didn't get to your calls. Coming up, KJ Wright shares a few thoughts on the idea of Russell leaving the city. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
All right, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we unveil your mean texts.
What did you just ask me during the break?
I asked you a few questions.
Okay.
Which one?
Has there ever been anybody? Yeah, you do ask lots of questions. ever been anybody that's done less and made more money
than Charlie Whitehurst?
Than Charlie Whitehurst.
Because, well, that was in response. Somebody sent in a text from the 253. Can we get Matt Flynn back? And then we were going, man, can you remember how much he made? And he didn't even play. And then I asked you the question, who made more in their career, Matt Flynn or Charlie Whitehurst?
Well, if the contest is who's done less and made more, it's definitely Charlie Whitehurst, and God bless him.
Well, my other question to you was, how could he be as bad as he looked? Every time you saw him, whether it was here in Seattle or at Sandy, wherever he went, somebody signed him. Somebody looked at him and said, we can work with that guy.
Yeah, well, and it's a good point because, like, you know, with Aaron Curry, which I hate dragging Aaron Curry's name through the mud, but, I mean, he was a great college football player. He was the Butkus Award winner, but he was the fourth pick of the draft. No,
nobody ripped Seattle for that pick when it was made.
Yeah.
Much like Dustin Ackley. People have revisionist history when they're like, oh, how could you take that guy? That was a consensus.
Yeah.
He was a stud in college, and Dustin Ackley was a consensus when they picked him. Nobody was going, what a reach. What's Seattle doing in either of those cases?
Right. Well, and it just kind of solidified, and that was about the time when I just started doing radio, and, you know, I would talk about the draft being a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And but the thing, the difference is between Aaron Curry, and we'll get to KJ here really quick, but Aaron Curry and a guy like Charlie Whitehurst, it wasn't just the Seahawks that, you know, just the Seahawks missed on Aaron Curry.
Right.
There was like two or three teams that missed on Charlie Whitehurst.
Did Curry go anywhere? Did he go to the Raiders after he left
there? He did. They traded him, I think. I think they traded him. I believe he did. So, yeah, I remember writing an article for the station back then, and it was entitled, Aaron Curry, Why Would You Do That? And there was like four plays where he had some bizarre thing. There was one time he made a tackle on a tight end from, you know, he's grabbing him from behind, and then it was almost looked like a conga line, like he was just had his hands on the guy's hips.
And he's running with him.
Yeah, right down the field. I'm like, tackle him. Yeah, it was
so good.
His mind was somewhere else, and it just, and he's coaching now, and I think maybe that's his, you know, that's his calling.
Has he ever commented? I'm sure he has. Somebody had to have. What happened? What do you think happened?
Yeah.
Why didn't it work out in the NFL? I'm wondering what his position is on that.
I would love to know that, too.
Yeah. All right. Again, coming up in less than 10 minutes, mean text. So you still have time to say the mean, hurtful things you've been saving up all week. 710-710 is the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Just be creative. That's all we ask. KJ Wright was on NFL Network on a show there, and he was being asked about Russell Wilson, and it was on NFL Network's Good Morning Football. Here's what he had to say about the idea of playing without Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of caught off guard myself, but, you know, looking back at it, Russ isn't going anywhere. As long as I'll be in Seattle, Russ is going to be the quarterback. And he means too much to us. He means way too much to this organization. He means way too much to this city. And usually people want to come to Seattle, not leave Seattle. And so I'm sure that him and the organization will get things figured out. He's somebody that, you know, I admire and love playing with, and so I expect Russ to be a Seahawks for a very long time.
To me, that means a lot, coming from a guy like KJ. KJ's a leader. KJ's a really good leader on this team. We love him. I think we've made that clear. We don't want him going anywhere. And it's interesting to hear that perspective from somebody on defense, right, where very easily you could look at it and like, man, this guy's making $35 million. Nobody holds him accountable. They make excuses for him. They could very easily have that envy or jealousy of, oh, look at the quarterback, and we're out here, you know, breaking our necks, making tackles. We don't get those accolades or that paycheck or what have you. I could just see some level of jealousy in there. But, yeah, I mean, he's just throwing it. As long as I'm here in Seattle, he's going to be here. Now, I'm not sure how much sway he has there, but, you know, interesting comments from him.
Well, and it'll be interesting to see how much repair, I guess, that Russ has to do if he comes back with his offensive line after the comments, you know. But KJ didn't seem to, you know, maybe they've already worked all this that out, you know. And Russ has already talked to his offensive line and just said, look, you know, guys, this is just what I'm doing. You know, I don't know what his plan is. But, yeah, KJ, I mean, when you have that guy's approval, you know that he's a good guy. I mean, if Russ was a big phony and, you know, and there's been people that have, you know, speculated that and that, you know, remember Richard Sherman kind of called him out and, you know, that, and there was some talk about that he needed to be treated like everybody else. I think this locker room seems to love him.
Yeah.
And if you have a guy like KJ on your side, then who can be against you?
Well, and that's why I said that means maybe it's just the amount of respect I've got for KJ, but that would mean the world to me to have him say that, to hear that from him. His status on the team in that locker room, that means something. And he hit on the thing that you were hitting on earlier. The quote was, usually people want to come to Seattle, not leave Seattle.
Right.
So he's in there with those guys like Dunlap, like Diggs, those guys on that side of the ball, Jamal Adams. I'm sure he's hearing all about their former pit stops and in New York, in Detroit, in Cincinnati, and dude, you've got a great here. I mean, you know they're hearing those stories. Man, let me tell you what we used to do in Cincinnati, or let me tell you about the weight room in Detroit or the coaches there, things you talked about before. So I think that comes from a very educated point of view, even though he's only been in Seattle. I think he's been around enough guys that have been, you know, on other teams to understand how much the environment is different and how much it is appreciated in Seattle.
Well, and back in the day when I played, it was just like if you actually ran into somebody and asked them about it, or somebody came to your franchise and talked about it, then you would know. But now everybody knows everybody. You know, and I'm sure KJ probably knows somebody on every single team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Just coming across people through, whether it's a workout partner or their agent or whatever, they know what the deal is. And the players talk about what is and is not good. And, you know, there are the franchises, Detroit, the Jets, Jacksonville. I mean, those
Cincinnati,
Houston,
for a long time.
Yeah, Cincy, maybe they'll turn it around. But I know Carlos Dunlap wasn't Dunlap wasn't very happy there. So, yeah, I mean, and certainly Houston. Mm-hmm. And now this is coming out from – I wonder how many of these guys talked to Jacob Martin. Because 2018, you know, he was a draft choice here, and he plays down there. I'd be very curious to hear from him. Maybe he's one of those guys like, hey, well, it's not that bad for me. I mean, from who I'm dealing with. But as far as, you know, if you're Deshaun Watson, and certainly if you're one of the superstars – I mean, maybe they treat the rank and file guys really well, and it's the superstars that, because those are the ones that we're hearing from.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. One other note from KJ, I'm just reading the story in an interview on Friday, said he should receive a hometown hookup rather than a hometown discount to continue playing for Seattle. But then he went on to note, that, as he said earlier in the week, that he's just as interested in winning as he is in getting paid. So it doesn't mean he's going to go to the Jets or to the Jaguars or to, you know, some team we look at as just terrible for nothing but the cash. So we'll see what he does. But good stuff out of KJ. I like hearing that. All right, it's your turn. The mean things you text in throughout the week, we unveil them next. You still have a few minutes. 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Mean text coming up with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It's very happy music you're playing there.
Yeah, this is a little too upbeat for Mean Text.
We'll blame the new audio system on this. This is our bed that's labeled Mean Text Bump and Bed.
No, it's absolutely wrong. Way too peppy and happy. It was
bump in bed.
Is that the ultimate mean insult? That they deleted our own bed?
Did they delete it? What was it? It was REM. Everybody hurts.
Let me look. Let me look through the system now here, because this is certainly not it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was.
Way too happy here.
Look at how rattled Lefko is.
Oh, I know he's out of sorts.
I mean, everything's going wrong, and he's back behind there throwing a temper tantrum.
in spirit of mean texts, I did get blamed on Wednesday. You know, when I shut down the station, we had about 5 seconds of silence. The 253 said, "This is all the new guy, Mike's fault." So that was the mean text on there. But I'll get you guys started on one when I search for the appropriate music. This was from Tuesday, and they were very concerned with what Dave was wearing. The 206 said, "Wyman's wearing the same blue plaid shirt he was wearing the last time he was on the air. What, does Shannon have to dress him too now?"
Mm.
You know what? That's creepy that he's paying attention.
They like watch the video stream, which you can do at 710sports.com.
By the way, maybe I have two of those shirts.
Ah.
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
How about a Fresca?
This was Friday to Tuesday. I could have. There was a wash cycle over the weekend. So there. That was my. I had my black and blue lumberjack Pendleton shirt on.
Do you have more than one? Oh, okay.
And that one probably had not been washed. But I'm clean. I'm a very clean person.
He was clean underneath that dirty flannel.
That's right.
425 says, "You all sound like your breath stinks." Okay. I'm not sure what that is, but it makes
That's
me
terrible.
Laugh.
That's terrible. I'm sorry. I have a problem with the hokey wolf, as Sean Salisbury used to call it. Bad breath. Bad breath is...
It's.
I don't want to be accused of that ever.
Yeah. Now, you know, I go and brush my teeth during the commercial breaks. And
every once
coffee.
In a while, you know, you put the mask on, you're like, oh, man, I got to, yeah, I don't.
The masks have done a lot of good.
That's a turnoff.
Because people are aware now
of
what was happening there, where they otherwise wouldn't be. And be like, I think people are more conscientious about, hey, I need some gum, or maybe I need to brush my teeth, a mint, something like that. I think that's been a very big upside to the mask that has been very undersold.
Yeah, it's a good point. I had somebody I was driving into work with that had it so bad that I had to crack the window.
Oh.
And so I asked my buddy, who was a Seattle cop at the time, and I'm like, you know, you had to run right around the same car with a partner. How do you broach that subject? And he's like, there's no good way.
You just
there's
do it.
There's no good way to do it.
You just say it.
Or you just suck it up and...
Or you're just, every time they get in the car, you just have mints. Here you go.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Mint.
I've got a selection here. You just pick one and definitely pick maybe two.
Right. Here's a good one, 509. Monday was one of Dave's better shows.
Ah, all right.
I was not here. It was Dave Grosby. Nice stuff. Nicely done.
You guys all have a face for radio. Okay.
That comes in every week.
That's an old one. That comes in every week?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
How about the 724? Bob looks like a thick Elon Musk. Dave looks like he has a thick Musk.
That's pretty good.
Why is everybody saying that I look like I stink? I sound like I stink. I shower like three times
a
day.
It's the plaid shirt.
It was the plaid shirt.
Yeah, it's the plaid shirt.
That's pretty funny. A thick Elon Musk, and you have a thick Musk.
I highlighted that one. It was good, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good. Did you find, is our song been eviscerated?
Yeah.
We can't play that one again. That sounded like 80s Muzak. It sounded like something that was created in the 80s that you would hear in a grocery store.
The sound of silence for mean texts. So, we'll figure something out for next week.
It's the sound of shame.
Yeah, exactly. The sound of a Taco Bell men's room.
Or it's the smell of my musk.
Your musk.
Well, the 425 was playing off of an earlier segment, which is always appreciated. Capital letters, Bob, whoever you think you are, Dave is.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that.
That's the trash-talking bowler.
Yeah.
Yes. Whoever you think you are, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. 425 says, my proctologist's NFL analysis is reliable as your guys. All right. Your proctologist is a learned individual. He knows his stuff.
I got something from before, 206, because I have said this a couple of times. I don't know why. It just got stuck in my head. Dave used the phrase, doesn't blow my skirt up. I'd complain about that visual, but I find that I just don't care about anything anymore, including living.
After that visual, it just sucked the life right out of him.
There's a couple on that blow your skirt up. There's another one, too. The 425 had one. It said, Dave talks about how few people blow up his skirt, but let's be honest, not even the wind is interested in venturing up there.
I don't remember where I got that phrase from, but it's come out, got stuck in the old loop, and came out a couple of times this week.
How about this one? 206. Hey, Dave, sad seeing your Stanford education not pay off. Killing a top five segment was saying the number one first. Are you leaving the station tonight, walking backwards and driving home in reverse?
I don't even remember going to Stanford, okay?
People taking shots at where your intellect is or your brain these days. Dave, this is the 541. Is your slow talking having to do with 553 tackles you had in your career? Is that your total? 553?
I have no idea.
That's what he had in one game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You talk slower than my dead grandma. I know it's legal in this state, but damn, bro.
Is he talking about weed?
He's talking about the weed. As you like.
No, because if I was smoking weed, I'd be a lot smarter, as all the weed smokers know. Text in. Yo, I make way more money than you, and I smoke weed every day.
Look at him. Here he is, poking the bear, trying to get him going.
Well, the 509 is an interesting life observation about you, Bob. They say you come across as one of those people who are too lazy to put their shopping carts back.
Absolutely untrue. I'm very conscientious about that.
That's a harsh criticism of Bob.
That's a terrible insult.
That's a terrible thing to say to somebody.
I will run across the parking lot in the rain with a cart to put it back in its spot at Costco.
I'll tell you what, though. Oh, at Costco, yeah.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, if there's like a planter thing there and it's a long ways away, will you kind of put it up on the planter, put the wheels up?
No.
I want to make sure that the thing doesn't go, you know, rolling and hit somebody's car. So sometimes I'll put the wheel up into the thing, but usually I go to the rack.
Drives me nuts if I see an open spot, like if I'm at Costco and, there's an open spot, and I start to pull in, and there's a cart there.
In there.
I'm like, you son of a... You lazy.
I wouldn't have blah, done, blah, blah. I wouldn't take away your spot. I would do it so it was up.
It'd be
the
out
side.
Of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do we got, man?
Oh, well, I like one that just came in from the 509. Not just, you know, the Faces Radio. They changed it. Dave and Bob have voices and opinions for radio for the deaf.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. All right. All right. All right.
You can change the channel, pal. Wait, we're not supposed to say that.
Yeah, no. That was mean, right?
That was mean.
Well, here's one from the 425. Be careful, guys, playing scout and GM. Russell might hear you, and I'm pretty sure he thinks he can do your job better than you guys.
I bet he does.
No?
He's a confident guy.
Yeah, that's a weird one, man. I mean, we've been talking about that all week. I just, again, what exactly do you want? I mean, because it just seems like the agent is making a stink because they want more recognition. Do they want more money? Do they want more control? Do they really want to be able to select the players?
I don't know.
It's really weird. I would love to know that. I know it's a simple question. What do you want?
I think Pete and John know. I think they've been told behind the scenes. I believe that. I believe they have been told. Whatever it is, they know. Now, whether they are financially able to, who knows? By the way, they said anybody, the 253, anyone who has to shower 3 times a day must absolutely stink.
I don't have to.
You don't have to stink. Maybe it just happens.
Oh, I don't have to shower 3 times a day is what I'm saying. No, it's only twice. Well, I work out twice a day, typically.
Do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, get up in the morning, do treadmill, and take a shower, come to work, go home, do treadmill, lift weights.
Wow. All right. That's pretty good. I'm just
so
once.
It's keeping me smelling quite fresh.
And I love this one. When we were talking about all the departures, you know, where would it rank hypothetically if Russell left and we brought up Junior and Gary Payton Kemp and Eater, all these people. And the 509 said, if Cody Barton got traded, that would be Dave's most heartbreaking Seattle departure. I don't know if that's a mean text, but I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, and people were giving me some heat about when I left Seattle, which a lot of people didn't even know that happened. like when I left, I'll never forget when Tom Flores, who him going into the Hall of Fame, watching that, I didn't think I was going to feel much about that, and I really did because – Tom Flores was one of the nicest people I've ever met and been around, and he was my coach, and he was the GM there for a while. But I just remember when Denver made me an offer, his comment was, and I don't know why my agent felt the need to tell me this, but his comment was, that's a lot of money for David.
Wow.
I was like, all right. Tom was such a nice guy. Like, I didn't even think that was like a dig from him. I was just like, anytime that he would even say my name, I'd be happy. I love Tom Flores.
Wow, that's a lot of money for David. Jeez. All right, good stuff out of you guys. You can do that throughout the week. You can start on Monday, which many of you do. You can start sending them in on Monday, 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll collect them throughout the week and unveil your mean text every Friday. We'll come back, talk some football with the professor, John Clayton, joining us next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.